Will you take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3. As you go there, in a moment, I'm going to have you all look carefully upon this passage. It's very familiar, but and yet it's a profound passage in the that I want to address this evening. It involves God's Word. And I'm telling you what, our nation is turning its back upon the Word of God. When I was over in Kenya, Africa, my son Todd was with me. And in the public high schools, they wanted us to come and preach. And the principals, who, although they're not Christians, they said, "We want you. We want our young people to have character. We want them to know what the Bible says." Here in America, we say, "We don't want the Bible." And no wonder we've got the drug addiction and the alcohol and all the rot. We're getting farther and farther away from God's Word. And so tonight, I pray the Lord will use the Word to stir your life as a child of God, and most of all, if you're unsaved, that it'll direct you to God's Son. Look at verse 16, please. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Our dear Father, tonight, how we pray that you'd help us to be led by your Spirit. I need your help, Father. I need your divine leading tonight. And so I'm asking for help, Father, to make known the Word that will help and aid your people. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Our text begins by stating, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the word inspiration literally means God breathed. Therefore, you can rightly render this passage, all Scripture is God breathed. That means the Scriptures came from the very being of God Himself. The Bible says that God is the author of the Scriptures. He is the one who's given us His holy Word. And since God has given us His Word, we need to look carefully upon it and examine why God gave us His Word in the first place. Well, first of all, look back at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I want you to observe that God, first of all, gave us His Word for our spiritual growth. The Bible says it's given, it's profitable for doctrine. The Bible tells you in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. In Psalm 119 verse 18, the Bible says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, every time you open your Bible, you ought to bow your head and pray and say, dear Father, give me understanding as I read and take the Bible, your Word, within my life. Why? Because the way you grow and you mature and will develop is by the intake of God's Word within your life. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, child of God, this book is how you grow. Psalm 119:97, oh, how love are thy law. It's my meditation of the day. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." And congregation, we grow when we take God's word within our lives. And when we don't, that's where the problems come. You know, if my wife was here this evening, she would tell you what I'm about to tell you. When I don't have any food in me, two things happen to me. One, I get very irritable. Number two, I get very weak. And Sharon would verify this. I can sit down the table and I'm so weak, and I can pick up the fork and I take just a few bites of food, and I'm telling you, congregation, I've got my energy back. You know why? Because food is my source for nourishment. That's where I get my energy. That's where I get my stamina. And the same is true for you. Your nourishment and your stamina is a result of the intake of the Word of God within your life. And so many are not doing that. I just read the shocking statistics that only 17% of Christians read the Bible on a daily, regular basis. And then it went on to say that many Christians only read the Bible once a month. No wonder so many of God's people are irritable, and why they're so weak. They're neglecting the very thing God gave you to feed you. And tonight, the Bible tells you in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And congregation, it's for your spiritual growth. But second of all, look back in verse 16. It's for your spiritual grooming. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Now get this, for reproof, for correction. Now stop right there. God, second of all, has given it for reproof, for correction. That is to spiritually groom your life. Would you all look at Titus 2, go one book over, Titus chapter 2. And I will not give it a verse, but go to Titus 2 and then look at me. Many times in my meetings, people will come to me and say, "Well, Jerry, as a child of God, how should I live?" And maybe that's your request or your question. Well, how should I live as a child of God? You want to know? The Bible tells you exactly how you ought to live. Look at Titus 2, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now look here. The Bible says we should live soberly, which means sound in your reasoning. Righteous means righteous in your living. Godly means godly in your example. Now, how does the Lord take any one of us, make us a sober, a righteous, and a godly individual? One word in verse 12, teaching us that denying, there's the key. Did you know denial has always been the way that God shapes the life of a child of God? Listen what the Bible tells you. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affection and lust." Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." over and over. The Bible tells you denial, 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 which means this. Child of God, we must put our lives in complete submission and obedience to God's commandments, God's laws, God's precepts, God's statutes, and God's ways. So whatever God condemns, congregation, you will never condone. What God forbids, you will never endorse. What God denies, you'll never embrace. Why? Your life is lived in submission and obedience to God's word. Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And I'm telling you something very strongly, but very kindly. You, as a child of God, look at me, teenager. You adults, look at me, please, and listen very carefully. You are going to struggle all of your life as a child of God until you realize you must be submissive and obedient to the Word of God to make you the sober, the righteous, and godly individual that you ought to be. But third of all, God has given His Word for our spiritual guidance. Look at the close of verse 16. It says, "For instruction in righteousness." Now, you ought to underline that word instruction. For instruction in righteousness. Look here, please. Many years ago, my daughter Jennifer, when she was just a little girl, I bought her a little pink tricycle for Christmas. And I was going to put that little tricycle together on Christmas Eve. Look at me, please. As long as I live, I would never put a toy together on Christmas Eve. And so I took this box. It was in a box, a little pink tricycle. I went in my office. I locked the door, and I opened the box up, and the first thing I saw was this instruction sheet, and I got mad. You did? I got mad. I said, "They're insulting my intelligence." Well, I'm a college graduate. I've gone to graduate school. I don't need this construction sheet. So I made a basketball out of it and flopped it in the wastebasket. And then, with my vast knowledge, I proceeded to put the little tricycle together. And when I finished, I'm picking up papers, putting in the box. I looked on the floor and I saw two washers like this, two little washers. And I said, "I wonder where they go." And so I crawled to the garbage can and I pulled out that instruction sheet and I straightened it out and I went, "Oh no." And you would have gone, "Oh no," as well. You know why? You know those little pedals that go around like that? Well, those washers were supposed to go on the inside. And then there's the pedal and then the little metal cap. So in order to put that on, I had to take the metal cap off first. Confession time, please. How many of you have ever tried to take one of those caps off? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Thank you, men, for your honesty. When I get mad at myself, I want to slap myself. You see, yeah, I do. I slap myself, right? I'm left-handed, so that's why this hand goes. And I got so mad, I said, "Oh, Savinsky, you know, I should slap you. Just look how long, look all the time you've wasted taking that thing off because you didn't need the instruction sheets." Now, I doubt if any one of you in this room have ever thrown the Bible in the garbage can. But look at me. You might as well have, man. Hey, lady, you might as well have. You know why? You never in your life have opened God's instruction sheets. You know, the Word of God says in John 5:39, Jesus Christ said, "Search the Scriptures, From them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The whole Bible will point you to Jesus Christ. And you are neglecting the instruction that God's given for you to go to heaven. You know what, congregation, tonight? If no one's opened the Bible, and all you've got is you're a church member, or you have been baptized. You may have gone even through a catechism, but you know you have never in your life had anyone open the Word of God and show you how Christ can save you. You know, I've preached 30-some years to teens across the country, all those different youth camps, and I thoroughly love young people. And I'm preaching at a big youth camp of 800 teenagers up in the north, and when I'm preaching one night, I'm talking with young people, and someone taps me on the shoulder. And I turn around, it's my younger son, Scott. He said, Dad, he was 16, by the way. He said, Dad, I got to speak with you. And I said, what about, son? He said, Dad, I don't believe I'm saved. I looked Scott right in the eyes. I got to back up a moment. My wife and I were talking about my son one day. And I said, Sharon, something bothers me about Scott. And Sharon said, what's that, honey? I said, I've never seen Scott shed a tear over anything of a spiritual nature. Never. Now, by the way, I don't believe every time you hear the Word of God cried, you got to boo-hoo, you know, and wring your handkerchiefs out. But I'll tell you right to your face, something's wrong in your life if spiritual truth never touches your emotions. And I said, Sharon, it's bothered me about this boy. Well, so when Scott said, Dad, I got to talk to you. I said, what about Scott? He said, Dad, I don't believe I'm saved. And I looked in his eyes. The Lord's my witness. For the first time, I saw tears. I said, okay, Scott. I took Scott in this by his side. We got alone. I opened the Word of God. I began to show Scott the way of salvation. When I got through, my son said to me, Dad, when I was 6 years of age, I came down the aisle under your preaching. And he did when he was 6 years of age. He said, but Dad, it's bothered me for years. It's bothered me, Dad. I said, Scott, you want to get saved? He said, Dad, I want to get saved. And my son bowed his head and invited Christ in his heart. We got home in Star a few weeks later. And on his own, 16 years of age, he walked down the aisle and came to our pastor. And our pastor said, Scott, would you want to tell the congregation why you came forward? He said, yes, I do. He said, congregation, 2 weeks ago, my dad led me to Jesus Christ. He said, I now know I am saved. I have everlasting life. And he had tears flowing down his face. You know, Scott is an unusual young man. He's an evangelist, but he's also a fourth degree black belt in karate. Scott has been a young man that I'm so thrilled for the fact he had enough courage to come to me and say, Dad, I'm not saved. And he came to Christ. You know what, this evening, I don't know your lives. And that's between you and the Lord, but I'll tell you this much. You need to realize God has given this book and this book only for instruction in righteousness. And what is that righteousness? Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, and you've got to come to Him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Before I do pray with our heads bowed, the lady's going to play a song of Just As I Am, and Brother Rob's going to lead us this evening. I do not know, child of God, what the Lord's doing in your life or how you handle the Bible. But I want to say this to you from my heart. This is how you grow. It's for spiritual growth. It's how God grooms you. It's for spiritual grooming. It's for spiritual guidance. You need to come and let someone open the Word of God and point you to Christ. In a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand, sing a song of Just As I Am. You know, child of God, this is not a generic invitation. If you're coming down here and say, I want to read the Bible more. No, no. If you come and you're new here, it ought to be, Lord, I want your word to get a hold of my heart. Where I begin to feast on it and let it really groom my life and help me to grow as I should, to be the sober, righteous, godly individual I should. And if you're unsaved, I pray you'll come and let someone take the word of God. You know no one's ever shown you. Is that correct? You say, yes, sir. Then you're the one I'm talking to. You step out where you are. Come to Pastor Todd and let someone take God's word and show you how you can be saved. Father, now take the word of God this evening. May our Savior be honored. May you do a work in our lives, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Would you all turn to page 319, just as I am. When we stand a moment, if you want to come, please, at this altar, as a child of God, if you want to be saved, come to Pastor Todd. Let someone open the Word of God, and tonight, get it settled with the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Let's all stand. Let's sing it good and loud, okay?